You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What up, though, everybody? It's Levels Podcast reporting live in the building, baby. Hey. Hit that thing. Know what I'm saying?
Be my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here once again, Levels Podcast. It's your boy Keith in the building. We got Austin over here.
Yo, what's going on, everybody?
And of course, oh my gosh, Deja Vu is in the building.
Hey, y'all.
Deja Delectable in the house.
So you stop it. Find some chill.
Deja Delectable is in the building.
Hey, all right, there we go.
Hey, sip. Do your thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You got jokes.
But no. So listen, seriously though, y'all, I'm glad to see y'all. How y'all been? How was your weekend, Austin?
I mean, to be honest, it was uneventful. All I did was work. But, you know, the grind is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to everybody that's going to work on the weekends, you know, for those who, like, can actually turn up for us.
Please.
The ones that got to work on the weekends and everything. I'm off next weekend, so I'm going to change everything. But, yeah, I just had to work this weekend, and I just relaxed. I'm a little tired still, to be honest. But, yeah. Deja, what about you?
How was your weekend?
Tiresome. I've actually had to work too Saturday, and then I woke up for church this morning, so I still have not had the chance to sleep in since my trip. But hey, that's wishful thinking, right?
Yeah,
hopefully
right.
Next weekend we could try again and I don't have to wake up on Saturday.
Get to sleep in. But you know, the moral of the story, guys, we are grinding.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? And honestly, that's really what the whole podcast is about. You know what I'm saying? We grinding, we doing what we got to do, because we trying to level up.
Yeah.
We just want to reach we want to get to the plateau.
We want to get past, we not broke, but we got a couple of dollars till we got $1 million. How about that?
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
It's a process to this.
And okay. we don't care what people say.
Mm-hmm. Levels to it.
Yeah. Levels to it. But, so now that we got everything introduced, so, you know, of course we know what levels means to us. We are grinding. We are trying to reach the top. We are trying to get there. So, you know, we got to start with the foundation. Everybody knows that you can't get to the top without starting at the bottom.
Okay.
Started from the bottom.
Big
now
facts.
We hit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, okay, y'all. That's enough of the musical references.
All right. We turn it into high school musical in this boy.
Oh, no. They can't be all in this together.
I'm not going to do it. We about to be singing, dancing. So, Deja, do you want to go ahead and do the honor of guiding us into our first topic?
Well, sure. So I got a question for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how a lot of times on social media you have those moments where you have those posts about your families and all the different type of issues that you may have. No family is perfect. That's mm-hmm. big facts.
That's true.
But it's our imperfections that makes us perfect.
Correct.
As a whole. And the love that, the strong love and the strong bond that we have together.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you guys this. How do you feel about the saying, is blood really thicker than water? Now, you know that normally means that family is over everything, but how is your communication when it comes to your family, and how strong and how deep is the bond? Because, you know, you can sometimes have those friends that are more like your sisters than your actual sisters, and vice versa.
True.
So
this is very true.
Basically, what we really want to get into is the communication when it comes to your family, how you all move together, and the different traits and everything that you see within your family that you may have, or things that may occur even before you were even born. So we basically just want to get down to the root of the family issues here. So we just going to talk about that today. How about that? Y'all down for that?
Yes. Down to the root in it, too.
All right, now.
That's how we started.
So my first question actually came from a post that I saw. Now, you know, normally everything starts off with the home.
Mm-hmm. Truth.
Some people grow up in different type of situations, living situations, such as single parenting, co-parenting, or you may have that two-parent at home. You know, that's goals for a lot of people within their families. Not all, but, you know, for the most part, it's goals. You know, you want that balance.
Right.
Me personally, I grew up in a single-parent home. I was raised basically by my mom for the most part. And then later on, like, as I got older, we moved in with my grandmother, and she became her caretaker. So it was like basically my mom and my grandma helped me a lot with my growth. Mm-hmm. Growing up in a single parent home, I know a lot of people probably may think like, well, do you feel like, you know, you're missing out on something and everything, like blah, blah, blah. Of course you have those thoughts because you know that it's normally a mother and a father that's always supposed to be in the home. But at the same time, I feel like it's hard. It was harder for me because how can you miss something that you never had experience with?
True.
And I ask people that all the time, like, that's kind of a hard question, you know? Like, of course, you know, you know it's something missing and you probably get curious to know what it was. But at the same time, how curious? You don't know what baggage this person may be bringing into your life, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's basically, you know, how I was thinking about it. I don't know. Most people don't look at it that way, you know. But I did. I mean, I can't miss something that I never had. But at the same time, it did affect me in a lot of ways that I did not even notice until I got older.
True.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I know for me, I had experience with a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, growing up, primarily, it was single parent. It was just me, my sister, my mom holding it down, doing her thug dizzle, you know. But as I got older, of course, me and my dad, our relationship developed a little bit. And I spent some time in the household with my dad and my stepmom, of course. You know, it's different. It's different having to adjust to a parent in that sense, you know, because, of course, when I grew up, all I knew was my mom, my grandma, my granddad. Those were my parental figures, you know, around me. Then, of course, as I kind of started growing older and then I have my dad coming in the mix, you know, and then my dad's wife who, you know, comes into the mix. It's hard as you're like already in your teens adjusting to another parent. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that what I found out, there's beauty in that because you get to experience another person's perspective. And, you know, she took me on like her own kid, you know what I'm saying? And she shows me the love and, you know what I'm saying? She there. She be,
that's
you know.
That's what's up. And it takes a strong woman to do that.
Yeah. She be looking out, you know what I'm saying? She, for real, for real. And the beauty of that is it doesn't take away from what my biological mom does, because my mom is always there for me, you know what I'm saying, regardless. So there's different like aspects of it that are, it takes some getting used to, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's beauty in it at the end of the day, you know. So
yeah, absolutely, it's always beauty in the struggle, it's always beauty in just simplicity and things of that nature, you know. Sometimes everybody's situation is different.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like prime example for me per se, like I had the ability to have to be in a two-parent home and everything. Like, both of my parents were and you know, are still actively in my life and things of that nature. there was a point in time where I experienced the single-parent home and everything. My parents, they split when I was about a teenager and things of that nature. And, you know, they really parted ways. And I got to experience living with my mom versus living with my dad. And, you know, I learned specific traits through both and everything.
Definitely.
And just being able to understand how it shaped and molded me into the man that I am today, really. So it does play a key factor. It does play a key role in how it is that you continue to come up, especially when you're in your teenage years, because during those teenage years, you find out who it is that you're trying to become, who it is that you're, what it is that you're trying to do, like pretty much for like the rest of your life, that type of deal. So I think it's really key essential that, you know, we make sure that, that when we talk about like these family issues and stuff, that, you know, we heal in the process as well.
Definitely. That's
big
huge.
Facts.
That's huge. Because the thing is like it's a lot of baggage that can carry over. That's the whole part. Like the family is the foundation, and that's where a lot of things start, where you'll have something that just spring up when
you're
20.
They're your first teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know? Absolutely. But
so how that badass kid act in school. It's because all that shit you let him get away with at home.
Right.
Whoop that. Say no, I'm just playing. No.
Whoop that kid.
Yeah.
Whoop that. No.
Yeah,
I don't
real.
Condone violence, though. I just want to put that out there. I'm not, you know.
I got to whoop him.
Don't be calling CPS on me.
All I'm going to just say this. This is my personal opinion. I was whooped as a child, and I turned out all right.
All right. Okay. Big
facts. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
I don't condone whooping your kids. I condone teaching your kids right from wrong.
When he have a kid, his kid ain't coming on my house.
No. I'm saying, listen, I'm not going to call it whooping. I'm calling you are learning right from wrong. There are consequences for your actions in this world.
Oh, so you disciplining.
I am disciplining my child. Adrian Peterson style. You know what I'm saying?
No, he did.
You know what I'm saying? It's discipline.
No, he did not.
Because listen, if I don't teach you as a kid, life is going to teach you when you 20 years exactly. old. You think you're running.
That's true.
So,
exactly. Because you're going to get, you guaranteed to get that swoop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's one thing, at some point. At some point in time in your life. And I just don't want it to catch you off guard. So why not just start, you know? Start here.
Start at your youth.
Start here.
With somebody that you know.
Okay.
Your parents specifically, maybe your siblings.
We not.
You know, because that happens too.
To the future C's, we will not skip whoopings. I'm sorry, you know.
Facts.
We not having none of that 2018.
We live in the politically correct world, so we will not skip discipline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Discipline.
Disciplinary action.
There we go.
Disciplinary action.
All right, you guys. So your immediate family versus your extended family. How well do you guys communicate with them? Like, is it normally, for instance, I'm just going to break it down a little bit. Is it more so like you're more so geared towards your immediate family because those are your siblings and your mom and your dad? Or is it more so like, okay, your cousins and your first cousins, your second cousins or your third cousins are more like your siblings because they're closer to an age? Because I know for me, it was always a big age difference between me and my sisters
mm-hmm.
and my brother. I came 11 years later. That's a huge difference. Right. That's a huge difference. So a lot of things that they're experiencing or as they're growing up, I'm a kid at this mm-hmm. time. So I'm still growing myself.
Right.
So I basically grew up as an only child, if you ask me. Because mm-hmm. like I said, it was just me, my mom, and my grandma in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, of course, I had a strong relationship with my mom. But it seems like now, as you know, we get older and as I'm getting older, it seemed like it did a reverse effect. I feel like me and my mom were closer, actually, when I was younger.
Okay.
Opposed to now, because it's like, okay, now that I'm grown, I know I start thinking differently and my mind is going a different route. And I know my mom is probably used to, okay, Deja, you know, thinks like me or feels like, you know, she's trying to go on this path because, you know, of how she feels like I should turn out or whatever when it's mm-hmm. not like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Me and my mom are still very close. But at the same time, I do notice that we bump heads more now that I'm 27.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think I read a quote where it was like, okay, the older you get, the closer you get to your parents or you get mm-hmm. to your mom or your dad. And I'm like, well, I'm going backwards. Like, what's going on? Like, well, what's going on?
Right.
But, I would most definitely say I have the strongest interpersonal relationship within my family with my mom still to this day.
Okay.
That's outside of my, you know, extended family. I do have my cousins who are more so kind of like brothers to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to dismiss my own brother because I know who my brother is and everything. Right. But like I said, he's, you know, he's older than me. My brother's like 40-something. I'm 27. You know what I'm saying? So it was like different age groups, you know.
Oh, another, yeah.
That's just like how mine were set up, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
And it really, to me, it speaks to a difference. To go back to a question you asked in the beginning about blood being thicker than water and how those relationships are,
mm-hmm.
I really believe, especially in the conversation of immediate family versus extended family, I really feel like it's one of those things where it all comes down to the bond you have, the time you share, and, you know, just how well you relate. Because the thing is I know from experience, there's just certain things that you'll be able to relate with other people better than you can relate to family, whether it be because of how the family might take it, how they might look at you, how they might perceive you because of what you're putting out there. It's a sticky situation. I know for me and my immediate family are really close. The thing is, we don't talk every day. We don't talk like You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I try to text my mom. I try to text my sister, like, every day. Like, I try to do that. But, of course, I have my own life.
Get that communication up.
Yeah. Right. You know, yeah. I just so that they know, hey, I'm alive. I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm breathing still.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm young and black and I'm alive. So, you know what I'm saying? What's up, y'all? But, you know, I try to do that. But at the same time, at this point in my life, I'm 26 years old. I am going through a tremendous period of self-development and self-realization.
Yeah,
to the
absolutely.
Point where I don't always have the time to, you know, stop and have even a 15-minute conversation with everything I have going on.
Yep.
It might not seem like a lot, but like for me at this point, there's a lot on my plate.
Exactly.
And trying to find my own way in this world, it can get a little difficult, you know? Mm-hmm. Even taking that to my extended family, I really just started reaching back out to my extended family. Majority of my extended family that's here in Detroit is my dad's side of the family. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we didn't talk about it. I wasn't always as close with my dad growing up, so I wasn't always as close with my dad's side of the family now, or growing up still. But right. at this point now, trying to build those relationships, trying to make that work, it's a work in progress. It takes the time. It takes the effort. But again, for me, sometimes it's like I'm trying to balance finding my way and also being able to be available for my family, the people who are around me, the people who love me, you know. It's all about balance. But, you know, in terms of the relationships at this point, it I feel like no matter what the relationship is, it's always constantly building. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So. Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, just to kind of like tie into that and everything. I completely agree when you say, like, for your immediate family, you guys are close, but you don't talk as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, you know, I'm 25 myself. And again, I'm in that point in my life where I'm trying to, like, personally develop who I am,
mm-hmm.
What it is I'm trying to bring to the table and all that stuff. And what I realized is that I need personal time. Like, mm-hmm. I need me time. I need time to think. I need time to, you know what I'm saying, spend time with God and everything. I need time to spend time in the Word. I need time to just reflect. I need time to just relax.
Yeah.
And do
yeah.
whatever I want to do and everything. If I just want to play the game just for like a couple hours, if I just want to play some cards, if I just want to watch TV,
mm-hmm.
if I just want to sit around and just play music, if I
or
feel like
how
dancing,
about you just sit around and not want to do anything?
Just if I just want to sit there and just be quiet
and just look at the ceiling,
yeah,
you know,
just be
let my
silent.
Mind wander.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See what other ideas can come about, that type of deal. Like if I want to be able to take care of that, I should be able to be given that right and that freedom without anybody interfering.
Most
or
definitely.
Without anybody like getting mad, you
or
know what I'm saying? Because
right.
we
because
don't
you
have
need
the
your space.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like we mm-hmm. I don't deserve the space to think and to like just relax from the world and just like get away from everything. So going back into like the immediate family thing, I love my siblings, I love my parents and everything. Do I get to talk to them as often as I would like to? Nah, because mm-hmm. I'm working. You know, I got my business that I'm trying to run and everything, and I got, like, other ideas that I'm trying to do. And, you know, sometimes it takes up time. And then by the time you're done with doing all of those things, mm-hmm. you're exhausted by the end of the day, mm-hmm. and all you want to do is just unwind and just do what it is that you like to do.
Definitely.
Something
right.
that you love to do. We have a very, very close relationship. Like, in fact, me and my siblings, we actually have a like group chat where we talk throughout the course of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Every so often.
That's nice.
We may not see each other because
you know what?
They all
me,
grown.
My sisters and my mom and my nieces all have like a group conversation or whatever, or
and
group chat or whatever
mm-hmm.
going on. And it's just like, I'm like, dang, y'all talk too much. Like, two seconds, I could be doing something, like, at work or whatever, and then
right.
I look at my phone, and it's, like, 10,
57,000 messages.
Right? 10 or 11 messages, and I'm like, what did I miss? And I read through them trying to catch up. It's a whole bunch of nothing.
Exactly.
I'm like,
y'all talking about what y'all ate for breakfast this
right,
morning.
Okay.
And everything.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Just happened to me. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to guess because I feel like it's going to be something off the wall.
I'm not going to lie. It was a point in time where my siblings, so it's me, I got two older sisters and one of my brothers and
uh-huh.
everything. And so, and then we literally, they would talk so much through the text and I would be like at work or something. And what ended up happening is I had to put my my text stream on Do Not Disturb mm-hmm. because they're always like talking and everything. And I'm just like, man, like just
slow down.
Give me a minute. And then by the time I catch up, they get mad at me because I'm all the way in the beginning.
Kind of like how me and Keith did you that day in the group chat.
I'm not even lying. Listen, I'm just saying, like, it was crucial at work. They needed me and everything. And so I couldn't respond to y'all quick enough. And he was just like, well, there go, Austin. Like, it's been 15 years, you know what I'm saying? Right. Since last talked to you, but we appreciate you chiming in finally.
Right.
We lit up his messenger, man, day. Like, Keith, like, I think we're going to get on Austin.
Yeah, I'm like, man, Austin about to mute us. Like, bro,
And then what makes it so funny is that I have an Apple Watch. So, like, it alerts on my phone. And so, like, I keep it on vibrate. So my watch just kept vibrating. I'm just like, are these emails or texts? Like, what's going
on? What is going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, we had the group chat and everything. And, you know, sometimes my parents would get mad at me if they even, well, not necessarily mad, but they'd get, like, a little upset, I guess you can say, mm-hmm. when they haven't heard from me and everything, especially my mom, because I'm the baby.
Yeah.
You know, everything.
Yeah,
and so,
that parent mad where it's like.
You know what? Yeah, my mom goes through that, too. Like,
my mom gets really.
As soon as whenever I have to go to my mom, whenever I go to my mom's house, it's like, okay, call me when you get home. And I always forget to call. I'm not even going to lie.
I always forget
to call. And it's I done took a shower. I done ate. You know, I done done some of everything. And she's like, okay, so when you go, I told you to call
me. Are you alive?
Right. She's right. I told you to call me when you get back. And then, oh my goodness, she's bad at answering the phone. But let you not answer her phone call.
Oh,
she calls like.
It's over.
Like, it's over. Like. Okay, like somebody attacking her or something. She has called my phone back to back, like, I kid you not, like 5 times before. And left. Out of that 5 times, she left 3 voicemails. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no. No, so like my mom, I think my mom is the coldest with the voicemail. She leaves you a very detailed message as to why you didn't call and everything. So like earlier today, I was at work and everything. She was like, I thought you was off today and everything. I thought that's what you told me. But I just want to make sure that you delivered that thing that I told you to deliver for me at your daddy house. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I did it. I never responded
back.
I never had the time to take care of that one thing for you. Sorry, my bad. Love you. I just got a whole bunch of stuff going on. That's all. And then they always get concerned when you haven't heard from them in a while. Like you said, they might think you might be dead or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, I'm alive and breathing.
I'm good.
You know, I'm good. I'm just handling my business. And my dad, we had a conversation one day. He was just like, yeah, like, I know you're all right. I give you your space and, you know what I'm saying, you handle what you got to do and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And whatnot. Like, when I saw him earlier today, you know, he gave me one of them heartfelt hugs. Like, ah, good to see you, son.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. It was like one of them strong ones and everything.
Yeah, like, come here.
All right, Dad, I appreciate that. I needed that.
Yeah.
It's been a rough week.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I needed that. So, you know, it's good to have that. But then real quick with the extended family, because I do want to tie that in really quick. I have cousins that I've been really close with since I was younger,
mm-hmm.
who sometimes I talk to them more than I actually talk to my own immediate family
mm-hmm.
and everything. Like, and that's on both sides of the family, specifically on my dad's side. Like, I have a cousin who we try to talk almost every other day now and everything, where it was a point in time we were both going through things and we really couldn't talk to each other and stuff. So we literally would like talk now and stuff, and we keep up with each other, and we actually try to plan days where we can actually hang and chill and mm-hmm. relax. So, you know, that's just one aspect for me.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Yeah. So we ready for our next question, y'all?
I don't know. It depends on what the question is. You
know, I don't know if you're about to get too personal or nothing. So, you know.
What are some traits that you notice that you carry that your mom and your dad carry? Like, that's the crazy part.
See.
Like, and I'm talking about those traits that when you turn into your mama for 2 seconds, or like when you turn into your dad for like 2 seconds, you're like, dang. I am acting like pops, or I am acting like my mom. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. I know what you're saying. Because there's good traits, and then there's bad traits as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And, I mean, to be honest, I really don't have a problem, like, sharing either one. You know, I don't see
it. Well, hit us with both.
All right, which one you want, good or bad first? I mean, it's up to y'all.
It's whatever you're ready to share, honey.
All right, so this is what I will say. Starting with my mom, some of the good traits that I have, my mom is a very hardworking, dedicated, clean person, though. Like, she can be hardworking, she can be dedicated, but she also cleans to the T. I think one thing that I get from her that could be bad but still can be good is being a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I don't want to finish a task until I know for a fact I won't have to go back to it at all, instead of just getting it done. Yep. That type of deal. And so, like, sometimes I can spend too much time on that one particular item or subject, whatever it is that I'm doing, and it could just take up most of my day.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I have the rest of the day gone because I focus on this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
On my dad's side, being a visionary, things of that nature. Just, I guess you could say, just being a man's man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a gentleman, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know being a gentleman in today's society is kind of like lacking,
mm-hmm.
and everything. The whole chivalry is dead type of thing. But you got a couple of good people out here who still, you know what I'm
keeping
saying?
Keeping it alive.
Yeah, keeping it alive and things of that nature. One thing I think negative that I may get from my dad would probably be not necessarily taking certain things too serious.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can say, like, I take it serious, but I don't necessarily allow it to affect me to the degree that it can affect me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of complicated to make, you know what I'm saying, to sum it all up. But most of the traits that I developed from my parents are usually good.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
Definitely.
And I think it's a good thing to just acknowledge both aspects of it, because when you do, you get to find out how it is that you want to change and develop your own personality, your own identity, and things of that nature.
For sure. I definitely want to piggyback on that, because I know my dad, he's very carefree. And I really don't think that's a bad thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
I really see that as,
is he
like,
a Sagittarius?
No, oh, no. Okay. He's February 14th. Is that what, Aquarius? I think so.
Aquarius.
Yeah,
it's Aquarius.
So.
Sure.
So he, Valentine's Day, baby.
Dang.
I know, right? Crazy.
That's true.
But like, he really don't, like, I don't want to say he don't take things seriously, but like, I feel like one thing I got from him, which kind of can be a good thing and a bad thing, is like, he just really don't let bullshit get to him. Like, my dad just laughs, and he can make jokes out of, like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? He really don't let too much stuff weigh him down. And I feel like I definitely take that on, in a sense where...
That is a really good thing.
Yeah, like, I don't let nothing weigh me down. I mean, I'm not going to say things don't get to me. Of course, we're all human. But, like, I just... So what? Like, it's life. You know what I'm saying? Like, what can I do to figure it out? And either I'm going to go through it, or I'm going to go around it, and
right.
I'm going to move on.
Move on.
You know? My mom is just a very hardworking person. She's very caring. I think if anything, that's what I really got from her, was like the caring aspect of it. Cause I just really genuinely care about people. Like, I just, yo, are you good? Is there something I can do to help you?
Oh,
do you need something?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you my last if you need it. You don't have to ask. Trust me, I'll be all right. I'll make a way for myself. But like, are you good? Do you need it? You
and
know?
That's one of the things I love about my mom. Cause she's the exact same way.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you get that caring trait, that's something that you really don't want to change, because it makes you feel good to give.
It do.
And, you know, and just to be a nice individual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to be evil. You don't have to go around here starting drama or
trying to get something when you give, you know?
Right. Or trying to get something when you give. Hey, one thing's for sure. Don't give it out if you can't afford it to.
Facts.
Boom, boom, boom.
Like, definitely I cannot stand when people do that. Don't give if you cannot afford to.
And be looking at me like, hey, is you going to give me back that?
Like, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Want a gift.
Don't do that.
We didn't agree upon this.
Right.
That's not how you treat people, and that's not how you should go about things. When you give with an open heart. Period.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time.
Like, because if you don't, I mean, you know, it's kind of like in vain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not really doing it like that.
Yeah.
You got hidden contracts with people.
You're looking,
and,
right.
You
know,
correct.
Like, you still looking out for yourself in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not genuine.
Not at all.
Now, one negative thing I will say I got from my mom,
mm-hmm.
growing up, my mom, she had, of course, she wanted us to be a certain way as kids. Mm-hmm. So
I hear times, you, Marcel. Yeah, it is a blessing and a curse at the same time. I'm sorry about that, Keith.
Hey, shout out to you, Marcel, for tuning in, bro.
Sorry, Brody.
Keep it alive. But no, so like one thing about my mom is that like she, of course, wanted us to be a certain way. She wanted to guide us to, you know what I'm saying, the better side of life.
Right.
But in doing that, she could be a little bit critical of people. And I notice at times, like, again, I don't judge. I try to let people be themselves. Mm-hmm. But there are times where I catch myself like judging the shit out of people. No bullshit. I judge the fuck out of people.
You know how I came up with a solution to that, though?
What's up?
As long as it stay in your mind, nobody will touch it. No. Hey. Like, that's serious.
Because yeah, I definitely do that, too.
Us, naturally, we do that. Yeah. Like, we...
Oh, yeah. They always say, don't judge a book by its cover, but how else are you going to know? Like, bruh, looking.
Your first impression is always going to be that impression. Like,
exactly. Mm. You know?
He said, I'm looking.
Like, I see this. Like, right. How do you expect me to respond? You know? But, of course, again, like me, I'm in no place to judge. You know, anybody could look at me and say a million and one things. You know what I'm saying? So, right. Of course, me understanding that, I try to, like, not do it. But, I mean, it gets the best of us at all times, you know? So, I mean, hey, it is what it is.
Now, I do want to ask both of y'all a really quick question, because I know we were talking about the aspect of caring. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's possible that you can sometimes care too much?
Hell yes.
But then here's the thing. So, like, what's the thin line? Like, where do you draw the line between caring too much?
You feel like you're being taken advantage of.
So, I have...
Honestly.
Good point.
I have
it gets to a point where you notice that intuition when somebody is taking advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just consistent and they're not doing anything to fix it or to make it right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, when it becomes a tit for tat, or when basically when you feel like they're taking you for granted, that's when you know it's that time to cut that off.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because people are really good at taking advantage of people and manipulating the situation and everything.
For sure. Now, I had a conversation with a friend of mine named Elijah, and this really put this whole, you know, subject in perspective for me, too, because he said something that really blew my mind. At the end of the day, everybody uses somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't, and the fact that I'm using you or you're using me shows that I have something of value. So I want to be in a position to be used. Mm-hmm. But however, when you misuse me,
taking advantage.
Once it's misuse, and now all of a sudden, because there's no problem with doing for people.
Exactly.
But when you expect me to do things for you, when you are in perfect position and power to do it yourself, but you just feel like, oh, I can rely on this person to do it just because they say yeah, then that's where it's misuse. You know what I'm saying?
I felt that.
Man, in the soul, right?
Yeah. Felt it in my soul.
But I don't think... This is my honest opinion. I don't think there's a such thing as, even though I responded, hell yeah, I really don't think there's such thing as caring too much. Because if I'm giving without the expectation of getting anything in return, then there is no way I can be taken advantage of. Because I'm not expecting anything from you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, once you begin to expect things from me without any reciprocation, and now it's just like, oh, well, you did it before, so what's the big deal? Right. Because you got two hands and feet, and you can do it yourself.
Right.
That's when it's misused for me. That's my only, you know.
I think there are times where you can become a burden to somebody, or you can like handicap somebody from doing what they need to do by providing too much care to them.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So like that, I think that's the thin line that I like usually like to draw. So like, I know when somebody is like taking advantage of me. At that point, it's up to me to determine whether or not I'm going to continue to let them do it, or if I'm going to, like, play into it some more.
Take control of the situation.
Correct. Or take control of the situation. Now, the thing is, when you do that, however they react from you taking control of the situation has nothing to do with you. Because you're choosing to make sure that you straight at the end of the day. Like,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you still have to have a peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And let's gear this towards, you know, the topic, though. How does that relate with your family? Do you think a lot of times, because we have certain expectations as a whole on both parties, we have certain expectations for our family, which is why a lot of times we get into shit.
Goddamn right we do.
Yeah. Like, we get every family goes through the shit.
Of course.
But how long are you going, for one, go through that shit without finding a solution to it?
Mm-hmm.
Or either just change the whole thing around to the point where it never happens again.
And you know,
which is rare, but you know, I'm just wishful thinking, you know.
But you know what's crazy is when you talk about family in that aspect, you have to make up in your mind too, and you have to ask yourself the question, at what point is this no longer my problem and do I just walk away from the situation?
Mm-hmm. Big facts. Now,
depending upon like who the person is, like let's say like your parents are going through something or like your sister or something, at what point do you take the attention away from how it affects you?
Because it doesn't even have to be related to finances.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It can be emotional.
That shit is always emotional.
Yes. Like, finances will break up a family, relationship, anything. Like, just finances alone. No. Owing somebody money or something like that. Like,
and y'all want to know what's crazy? Let me see. I know Keith is up coming.
I'm itching. Yeah.
But here's my thing. So I put up a status a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sitting at home chilling a couple days ago, and I just thought to myself, and I was just looking at different situations that I've experienced or that I've known a lot of my friends to experience. And it was also related to a lot of conversations that we all had.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in a status like, you know, it's no one out here faker than your family members in church.
I didn't see that.
Here's my thing. Let me elaborate on that. Everybody, for one, they just assumed it was a personal issue. It was not a personal situation at all. It was nothing that I was going through, nothing that I was dealing with my family-wise. It was just an observation that I've noticed. And I'm only speaking from my perspective because I didn't have any problems with anybody. But it's something that I noticed. And here's my thing as far as the family aspect. I feel like when we are a family, especially when it comes to like your siblings or your first cousins or whatever, because a lot of these people, before you were even born, they knew each other first before you even got here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's crazy how somehow in a way you can end up in the middle. And it's like, hey, you know this individual before I even entered into this world. Why can't you talk to this person?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you find a medium? Within this conversation and actually finding a solution to y'all issues, because by the end of the day, you know that person just as much as they know you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It shouldn't be like this. If anything, we should, of course we're going to clash. Of course we're going to bump heads because we're family. But by the end of the day, this is still a person that you love and who you would never want. You don't want them to die and you living in regret.
Yeah.
You know? And as you get older, you really think about that. You really kind of forget about the stubborn heartedness that's going on or the fact that just trying to be right, mm-hmm. you know? And it really should not even be like that, because you should find the most comfort and the most healing within your inner circle and with your family and within the church.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times people don't go to church because it's sometimes so judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To the point where they say come as you are, but they really mean like,
come as you are so we can judge you.
Okay. So we can judge you and see if we want you to be in this church. See if we want you to be in that choir. See if we want you to be on the usher board.
Do you really mm-hmm. fit in?
Okay. Yeah. Because this is why a lot of people do say like, I don't believe in this, but at the same time, a lot of people think churches are cults.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that.
Yeah.
But everyone's experience is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just felt like I've analyzed it to the point where I'm like, you should never feel that way. Why is it the place where you feel the most comfort or where you should feel the most loyalty? Why does it always have the biggest question mark? And is it because of just expectations alone? Because that could be. That could just be it.
It could be when expectations meet reality, though. Like, you have an expectation, mm-hmm. and then the reality sets in that the expectations that you have for that person or those group of people are not met.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ultimately changes or alters everything that you think about that person, a group of people, or just yourself in general.
Because you feel like you've been let down at that point.
Yeah, exactly. But let me ask you this, though. That should fall within the imperfections that we have just as human beings.
True.
You're right.
But
think about it from this perspective, though.
Uh-huh.
When you have certain relationships with people, it's human nature. You tend to fall into, I can depend on this person for this. I can rely on this person for that.
Right.
No matter
right.
what, I can always go to my sister for emotional support. Mm-hmm. If I'm feeling some type of way, I can go to this person. Mm-hmm. If I need this, I can call my mom. Like, we always tend to rely on those people, not right. really thinking of the strain it might put on them mm-hmm. when we're doing those things.
Right.
So then when they finally get to a position to say, you know what, this is straining me, I can't do it anymore. Although it would be human nature to, or it would be the right way to mm-hmm. say, like, damn, you know what? My bad. That is kind of a stressful situation I'm putting you in. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Because we have this person at this expectation.
Right.
And then those expectations are met. Like you said, Austin, now there's disappointment. Now it's like, you've always been this for me, and now I feel like I've been let down. You know? So it's a slippery slope, you know?
It is a slippery slope that you try to take advantage of and you try to create a balance for.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and then like life just hits you and then like the balance is never really met.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. Because, you know, you're going to have your family to like bring their problems to your situation, to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so like while you're trying to look for the emotional support, that financial support, whatever support you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
It's important to know that they're expecting you to be able to, that they can bring their problems to you as well
mm-hmm.
and everything. And sometimes you just don't have the strength to deal with their problems.
True.
And vice versa. You know, like, that's why it's always good to establish some type of peace of mind mm-hmm. when you're, like, having those type of questions.
Definitely.
Or type of situations. Because let's say, for instance, you have a scenario where somebody allows you to be comfortable where you share your personal stories. It could be family, it could be a friend or whatever, but specifically like with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say you guys get into an argument and now they share that business
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. Now you feel compromised to where you can't share anything with them or whatever.
Definitely.
And then what I always say is like, you put yourself in my shoes, put yourself in another person's shoes. What if that same scenario happened? But in reverse, how would you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What would you do different?
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. So, you know, it's always going to be a battle with like trying to please certain family members and trying to like, you know, trying to make sure that what you're bringing to the table is synonymous with what they're bringing to the table.
Definitely.
It could just be a huge debacle. Definitely. At times, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to share a story with y'all as we're talking about expectations and, you know, like not being met and, you know, expecting certain things from family members.
Right.
So this was the moment where I realized that I needed to step my shit up and basically become a man. In recent years, I've been having a lot of open, honest discussion with my family members, more specifically my mom and my sister. Growing up, I felt like I did a lot of my sister was always a very smart person. We always went to all the same schools. So I did. Not intentionally from her end, but I did a lot of following in her shadow where people were always like, oh, you're Ashley's brother. Oh, okay, well, you have to live up to this expectation
right.
because of that, whatever the case, right? So I always kind of felt like I lived in a bit of a shadow, whatever the case. Just a little background story. My mom was always a very supportive person of me, though. Anything I needed, she always had my back, you know, financially, emotionally, whatever the case. As a young man, I learned to depend on her, though.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what you were saying, Austin, where it's like you can give somebody some help, but eventually it's not that good because they're not helping themselves. They're just depending on the person.
Right. You know?
It's handicapping right. the situation.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Providing a burden to them or vice yep. versa.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I was really leaning on my mom. Like, if I didn't have it, like, whether it be financially or whatever the case, in my mind, it's always like, well, my mom's always been there to help me out. So I'll just ask her. The day I realized that I needed to step my shit up and become a man, we literally sat down and had a family discussion.
Yes, that's Keith.
That is me. How y'all doing?
My sister, is that Keith?
That's me. You should turn it around so you can see me.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, boo.
How
you doing?
What's
good? Nah, but so we literally had a discussion, and my mom came to me with tears in her eyes, crying, because she told me that she felt as though I was using her for my needs, but I wasn't giving anything back.
Mm.
She felt like I would always run to her whenever I needed anything, and yet there was no reciprocation. There was no doubling back on that. And it really hit me to the point where I had to take a step back and say, damn, I kind of am. You know, and understanding what that relationship had turned into, where for me on my end, I'm looking at it as like, oh, shit, she just always there. She help out. She had my back, blah, 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 blah.
Right, and it's your mom.
Yeah, so you know, feeling like mama always going to be there, right? No matter what you do, your mama always going to love you. That's what they say, right?
Right.
That's what they say.
And I know she loves me still, but it's just one of those where now I got to take a step back where I'm realizing, damn, I'm the toxic person in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that's putting strain on you mm-hmm. because you feel like, think about it. She's a single mom that done bent over backwards for the last 20 some odd years to get me to this point now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now it's still like, hey, keep giving, keep giving, keep giving. And I'm not doing anything in return. And so that moment right there of even being able to understand failed expectations and where we stand with everything really helped me understand, okay, shit, I need to step my game up. I need to do something a little bit different because I don't want my mama coming to me crying. Like, it don't feel good being like, oh, shit, my mama crying. It's my fault. Damn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, it's the thing is like a lot of the issues that we have with our family, a lot of the things that do come up, at times, yes, it can be hard. At times, yes, it can be difficult to deal with these situations. But a lot of times, there are opportunities to learn to grow because if somebody's coming to you, that you spend the most time with your family. They know you more than almost anybody else. So if they're telling you, hey, there's this thing that's going on that you do that's a bit of a problem,
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, take a look at it. Maybe see, you know?
Yeah.
But that was just a little.
No, move. I feel you. I feel like that was a good example. Okay, so analyzing your family as a whole. So we tend to forget that your uncles and your aunts and your mom once all stayed in the same household. They all grew up together.
Right.
It was a family. It was an immediate family between them and your grandparents before you were even born.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you're here, everyone else has their own family. My question to you is, do you guys notice something that all of your aunts and your uncles and your mom or dad may do and they just don't notice it because that's how their household was set up? The good and bad, though. The good and bad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Really, like, think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they tend to go about things. They try to act like they go about things differently. When they really don't. Not in real life.
I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to let y'all go.
Why you got to be like that?
It's not even that. I honestly really don't feel like I have an answer for the simple fact my mom was the only child.
Oh, man.
And, okay. Like, my dad's side of the family, like, again.
So you lucked up.
Yeah. So it's like, right. I mean, I could tell you what it's like growing up with a single child mom.
We ain't trying to hear that.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to hear that.
It ain't that exciting. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so what I will say is from both sides, from my mom and my dad, I guess I can start with my mom first. So my mom only has one other biological sister who is older than her and everything. And I noticed that, you know, they really ride for each other and stuff. But mm-hmm. at the same time, they're different in various ways. Like my mom, so my aunt, love her to death and everything. She was more or less from what I heard, the partier and everything, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas my mom was like more conservative and like taking care of things and whatnot. Not saying that my aunt doesn't take care of things because she does. She's pretty much right. At this point the matriarch of the mom side of the family.
Okay. I'm following you.
Yeah. So what I do notice though is that those traits kind of play into like me and my sister. Like mm-hmm. my sister is more or less like my aunt. She's sort of like my aunt and everything, where like, you know, she not necessarily used to be like wild or anything, but she used to just do certain things that were just different mm-hmm. from the way that I do things. Like, I'm kind of like a little more conservative. Like, I'm just now starting to like be not necessarily more free, but just more adventurous with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
only because it was such an age gap. Like, mm-hmm. it's weird. Oddly enough, my aunt and my mom are 8 years apart, and then me and my sister are 8 years apart.
Mm. Oh, that's
really
cute.
Yeah. I think that's really strange. I don't know how God did that.
he'd be working some. You know,
he'd be working it out.
You know what I'm saying?
It was real strategic. So yeah. I can see why my sister will relate more to my aunt, and I will relate more to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Me and my mom are technically the young babies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dad's side is completely different because it's like 15 billion of them. It's really only eight. It's really only eight. But I just noticed that when my grandmother passed, everybody got like distant and everything. And it's like everyone started to show their true colors.
That rock
was gone, and everybody just kind of fell apart.
Mm.
And one thing, like how Big Mama died on Soul Food.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But like, only thing different is that, you know, on Soul Food, you know, everybody still came around.
No, they didn't.
I'm talking about like for the food and everything. You know, they all came together
for the food. You know,
think about it. Like for the food, like we on my dad's side, we still really don't come together. Like we kind of been trying to put together a family reunion for years
because mm-hmm.
it's still a family that I have. Like I've met only like maybe once when I was a teenager, and they lived down south. And it's like we're still trying to get them all together. And it's been literally over a decade since we've had the ability to be able to get together. And it's frustrating because I have cousins who I see through social media and everything, and they see what I'm doing and stuff, but we just never get the chance to meet and all that stuff. And I personally think that problem falls on like my dad and my uncles and my aunts because they're not as close as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because they don't love each other, but I mean, they have stuff to do and things to take care of, but you still got to make time.
That's
to
right.
be with your family. You have to make time because family is everything at the end of the day. Family is the only consistent like thing said, that you're going to have.
They can be gone. They can be here one day and gone tomorrow. And
that's
damn
so
what?
True.
Like,
damn what?
But you know what? And speaking on that really quick, I really hate when the only time that we get together, only time families get together is
funerals.
Mostly through funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Hate that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't you give somebody their roses when they're still alive?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's all I'm saying.
Like,
okay.
It ain't got to be a whole bunch of roses. It should be one single rose.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, single rose.
Call that person.
Just call them.
It's nothing wrong with
it. Like, pick up your phone.
Let them know that you love
30 seconds. Like,
let's
hey,
go bowl or something.
I know I ain't talked to you in a minute. I just want to make sure that you straight and love you. Like, leave a voicemail. If they don't answer, leave a voicemail. They will definitely call you back if they feel like it was that important.
Definitely.
And you know what? That brings me to my last question. Getting back to embracing that love for one another. I'm sorry, y'all. I got tongue tied for a minute. I don't know how, but whatever.
Tequila tied.
So, for one, I did not have any tequila. It was vodka, and it didn't do anything.
Do your thing, Shaq. Ain't nobody judging.
Anyways, pull it forward. But getting back to embracing that love for one another. Here's my thing. When I say embracing that love, I mean that innocent love that you had whenever you used to meet up with your cousins or meet up with your friends or your family or whoever. And you all just chilled. When you used to separate, sometimes you used to cry, be like, I want to come back over here, I want to hang out, this and third. That genuine love that you guys had for one another instead of making it so toxic to the point where y'all can't even sit in the same room together anymore. Mm-hmm. Not saying like you just completely don't love them anymore, but at the same time, can you at least embrace that a little bit to make it all make sense?
Right. Yeah,
again?
Definitely.
Because like you say, Austin, why can't we just give each other our roses while we're living?
It shouldn't
be that hard.
We got to break that. We have to break that cycle.
It shouldn't be that hard, especially nowadays. In 2018, people are dropping like flies.
Literally.
You don't even have to be in situations anymore. You could be walking to the car.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask y'all this question real quick. What do y'all think would be something that even just individually could be done to try to break that, you know?
I mean, we got to set the example. I mean, we have to be the ones to reach out and communicate.
Definitely.
No matter what. I mean, I know it'll get annoying if nobody initially answers, but if someone is making an actual effort to do those things, everybody else will kind of like fall in suit.
Because
when you think about it, I mean, like I was saying earlier, or like Deja mentioned about, you know, when the rock of the family is lost, everybody else kind of like just spreads away. Somebody has to reestablish that rock, that foundation.
Definitely.
And when that happens, that's when we're able to come back together and be a family once again, a loving family at that, like that innocent love, like you just mentioned, Asia, you know, because that's something that can never be taken away. That's something that's going to always be in the back of your mind for the rest of like the time that you live here
forever
on this earth.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Period.
And we only got one life.
One life.
All I'm saying is y'all going to have to stop this because... I'm just saying.
And it's to be honest, it's really heavy within the black communities specifically.
It is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we're basically taught at young ages or just like within your household to sweep stuff under the rug.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Because black people, unfortunately, we had to be strong all of our lives.
Correct.
And as that's passed down from generation to generation to generation from your ancestors and all, we naturally tend to let that out when it comes to everything that we do. It doesn't matter if it's career-wise. It doesn't matter if it's family. It doesn't matter if it's just something simple, like you just hanging out with your friends. Oh, I know you ain't talking to me. You know, it's just like, come on now.
Yeah.
Like, do we have to be that combative all the time?
Let's get back to love, you know?
Okay, because, I mean, it's not. It's really not worth it. And then we always look angry or aggressive, like, black people so aggressive.
We got a lot of stress, you know.
But we do. That's and why, I know why. But
that's why
at
we
the
here.
Same time,
trying to talk about it.
I was getting ready to say we need to just get.
We here.
Woosah.
Trying to work through it.
You know.
You know.
Have some vodka.
Yeah. Have a little something. Listen up. Have a little fun. You
whatever
know?
Your purpose is. If you like vodka, if you like wine, if you like rum, if you like whiskey, like
it's levels to this liquor.
It's levels to this.
Notice
amount
how he mentioned
beverage,
dark liquor.
Alcoholic beverages.
Amount of these adult
notice,
beverages
notice
you can
how
take.
How he mentioned the dark though.
Oh yeah.
Let's not get Austin on that dark.
Listen. Yeah. I'm
quiet storm.
Look at him. He can't even get his words out no more. Oh, what were you saying about me?
Yeah. Pineapples.
Hey, well, listen, on that note, I definitely want to say, you know, one huge thing about the family is that we definitely want to be able to leave everything on a good note. We want to be able to leave y'all with something positive to you know, through the week so y'all can go ahead and get through. So, Austin, you want to leave people with the positive word for the end of the week?
Yeah, so there's this quote that is passed around oftentimes, and I just want to elaborate on it just really quick. So the quote is, the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to forget is the happiest. Now, I just want to break both all three of those things down really quick. So the first to apologize is the bravest, and the reason why they're the bravest is because they know within themselves that they decide not to have that animosity and that resentment and that hurt to be inside of them. Mm-hmm. And so they apologize for themselves first, regardless if you decide to accept it or not.
Definitely.
And everything. And so they end up being the bravest. They end up being the most courageous to step up and be the one to lead by example. Mm-hmm. The first to forgive is the strongest. I mean, to be honest, anybody that's forgiving is all like more forgiving is usually somebody who is like strong within the inside.
Of
course. You know, their heart is strong, their will is strong, their spirit is really strong and everything. And I think it's good to know that if you can easily forgive somebody for any mistakes that they may make, because we all are human, we err, that shows the amount of character that you possess within yourself.
Definitely.
And then the last thing, the first to forget is the happiest. I mean, we're going to go through, you know, things in life where it may not always be the most memorable. But if you can learn to exercise the ability to know that your good will always outweigh your bad, you'll understand that when you forget certain things that have happened to you, you'll end up staying a lot happier throughout the course of your life.
And that's how you level up, baby.
Okay.
So we want to thank y'all for tuning in. We had a wonderful discussion.
Hey. Are we signing off?
We are signing off.
Ooh-wee.
All right, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you so much for listening in. We graciously appreciate it. And we just want to welcome you all again to the Levels family. Make sure that you guys follow the Instagram page and the Facebook page, please. We appreciate all the love and the support.
And with that being said, we are out.
We
out of
here.
Be on the lookout for us next week. We love y'all. Good night.
Peace.
All right.
Level up.